Hey, so today I'm chatting with Anitra Jackson with Chronicles of a Montessorian. Anitra is a mom, of course, and a trained Montessori teacher, and her blog is perfect for both beginners and those who already have some experience with Montessori. In doing the research for this interview, I was honestly lost and so confused. And so I was, you know, there's Montessori style, quote unquote, toys, which as you're going to hear in a few minutes, Montessori toys are not actually a thing. So who knew? And then there's Montessori parenting and education. And there's all these different kind of voices and perspectives in the Montessori space. And so I was really excited to talk to Anitra, who is basically an expert in this field. So she's going to drop some amazing gems. So like I said, if your interest is piqued about, you know, Montessori, you've always had questions about it, you're definitely going to want to catch this interview. Anitra's links will be in the show notes. All of the resources that she mentions in the show will also be in the show notes. So if you hear anything that you want to know more about, head there for more information. And with that, on to the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Tribe Culture Life podcast, where our stories and our lives matter. I'm your host, Brittany Montgomery, and I invite you to listen in a few times a month as I chat about issues that we as members of the Black and POC communities face every day. I'll be sharing stories and perspectives that matter to you, from raising children to relationships, entrepreneurship, and traveling, and all aspects in between. If any of those topics interest you, you are definitely my tribe, and you are definitely in the right place. So I want to thank Lisa's Makerspace for sponsoring today's episode. Lisa's Makerspace specializes in unique, culturally minded, handcrafted gifts featuring images that look like us. One of my personal favorites is the 120-piece puzzle. The images are bright and vibrant, and they make for a relaxing, quiet activity once the kids are in bed. Plus, bonus, once they're complete, you have a beautiful piece of artwork to display. For more info, go to alldaybrittany.com/Lisa's Maker Space, all one word, and make sure to use the code ALLDAY at checkout for a free gift with your purchase. So Anitra, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So jumping right in, for those that are unfamiliar with the term, tell me, what is Montessori exactly?
So the Montessori method is an educational model, and you follow the child in their natural abilities. So the environment and the materials are used to foster the child's natural desire to learn and develop. And they each develop at their own pace. So the teachers prepare the environment, the lessons centered on each child's needs instead of as a group.
And when we say Montessori parenting versus education, play, are those all separate concepts, or do they kind of like fall under the same umbrella?
They pretty much fall under the same umbrella. You can use the basic Montessori principles and practices in your parenting, in your homeschool, in your play, in all kinds of things. So it's pretty much just taking the basis of it and using it in different ways, but it's pretty much all the same and it falls under the same umbrella.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of what tripped me up in doing the research for our discussion today, looking at like the toys and then the play. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this all the same thing? Or so I don't know about my listeners, but I was a little confused. So thank you for clarifying that.
No problem.
And so you are a certified Montessori educator of 19 years. What drew you to the Montessori style of education?
So I first fell in love with the way the whole Montessori environment just flowed. The children were like engaged in different activities throughout the classroom. They were all working independently of one another, but still as a collective whole. So when I first walked into a classroom, I saw a bunch of different kids doing a bunch of different things. Some of them were working with the teacher. Others were working alone. Some were working together, but it was so peaceful. And I was just like, what is this? I need to know more about it. And so that's when I was like, I need to take the training.
And how old were your kids when you first introduced them to the Montessori lifestyle?
So my oldest was probably 18 months or so when I first started in a Montessori school. And then my oldest was a Montessori baby from birth. So and now they're 23 and 19. So
nice. Yeah. And so when they were younger, did they attend a Montessori school, or did you take charge of that part of their experience on your own?
So So they, since I've always worked in a Montessori school, they always attended the school that I taught at, but they were never in my class. That's not okay. You don't ever want to try to teach your own kid in your classroom too much. But, and then we did Montessori stuff in our day-to-day life, like at home with like choices and, you know, letting them, you know, make their snacks and do other things. So it was kind of a bit of both.
I love that. And do you feel like embracing Montessori with your girls when they were so young helped foster any of the traits that they possess now?
Oh, definitely. So Montessori children learn a lot of useful traits that help them like throughout their like entire lives. So we call it grace and courtesy, which is basically manners. They're super polite. They learn about community, respect for themselves, others, their environment, everything that they use. They're really self-confident. They're problem solvers. So there's like a lot of things that go into Montessori, and it's not just the materials. It's the other stuff that we teach them.
I love that. That was kind of one of the things that drew me to this lifestyle and education style. We practice conscious parenting, which is on the parenting side of it, but I feel like very similar, you know, with respect for others and the community. And so that's really nice to hear that they have been able to kind of take those concepts and use them in their everyday lives, even as, I don't want to say kids because they're grown, but even as right. older people. That's really awesome.
Right. It does. It helps.
Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, just from doing my research and kind of looking around and seeing what's out there, it seems like Montessori is one of those spaces that is still kind of primarily a non-POC space. And so I'm curious, when you first started, was the lack of diversity something you experienced? And if so, how did you work through that?
It definitely was. At first, I probably was one of the only person of color in my schools in the very beginning. It's more diverse now than it was, but it's still, it could be a lot more diverse. Now with a lot that's going on, there's been a lot of organizations now that have stepped up and started to shed light and to feature persons of color in like the Montessori, whether it be Montessori, like just moms, teachers, just all kinds of spectrum. It just depends on what they're doing. So that has helped, but it could be a lot better.
I like that. I like that you brought up kind of this, it's a journey, right? It's like an ongoing thing. I have noticed that, especially like it, well, it's 2021 now, yay, but especially in the last year, you know, spaces that tend to lack diversity, a lot of us have kind of stepped up to put our perspective out there and share our story. And so it is really nice hearing from someone that looks like me in a concept or a field that I am interested in. So thank you for putting your voice out there for so long.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. Yes. And so speaking of that, so you've created this amazing resource for Montessori moms, Chronicles of a Montessorian. And I've got to wonder, did that lack of diversity that you experienced initially, did that factor into creating this amazing resource that you have today?
Honestly, in the beginning, it didn't. I started just because I wanted to share educational tips and ideas, lessons, and just general information with people because I love Montessori that much. It's really kind of sad how much I really love it. But so I just wanted to share with others, and now it's grown into something that I can share and kind of get our voices out there, because I've come across so many people now that are people of color that are using Montessori principles or practices, or that are Montessori teachers. So it's helped. But it's not just Montessori, like, you know, it has parenting, it has, you know, just regular mom life stuff. So it has a good variety. So someone that's kind of not sure if they really are into Montessori, they can learn other stuff from my blog as well. So that's kind of why it has a little bit of variety on there.
That's awesome. So it's all encompassing. I love that.
Yes.
And so we touched on this a little bit kind of at the beginning. I don't know, it may just be me, but I feel like the definition of Montessori has gotten just a little convoluted as it's become more and more mainstream. So you Google, you know, Montessori style toys, and we have all of the, I guess, like, quote unquote, textbook Montessori stuff.
Right.
But I think a lot of what you see isn't necessarily true to Montessori practice. And so I feel like maybe that can be a little bit overwhelming for someone who's just starting out in their journey and just kind of getting to know the concepts. So what are some resources that you recommend for creating a so-called authentic Montessori experience for our children?
So before I get into the resources, basically Montessori is not trademarked. So it's an educational philosophy, and people can pretty much interpret that how they see fit. There are basic and authentic Montessori materials that you will find in authentic Montessori classroom or environment. So with that being said, that means most of the materials, they're called materials or work or activities or objectives. They're not really toys. They don't technically play in the classroom or in the environment. They use the materials and the work to learn an objective. So most of the materials are made of natural wood or of some wood form. They're not super colorful. They don't make noise. They don't have batteries. So if you Google Montessori toys, those things come up. You could skip those because they're technically not true Montessori materials because they're colorful. They make noise. They have batteries, yada, yada, yada. With that being said, that's why I created my blog, so that people can get an actual, authentic, real explanation of what Montessori is. And I try to keep it simple and easy and inexpensive so that it's easy to incorporate materials, objectives, principles, and practices into either your homeschool, your daily life, all kinds of ways, easily. Because it can be a lot of overwhelming information. If you Google Montessori, you'll come up with millions of things. You wouldn't even know where to start.
Yes.
It's a lot. It is. So that's why I created the blog, to try to help people get a better understanding, because a lot of people don't know that. They do think that, oh yeah, it says it's Montessori and, you know, says so on their description. So it has to be Montessori, but technically not everything is, even though people may market it that way.
Got you. Thank you so much for pointing that out. It's so important. And then like when you said, like with the toys, you know, they're not technically toys.
Right. They work. So yeah, in the classroom, they do work. That's the lingo that we use. So you need to choose a work. And there's a lot of free choice. There's so many different activities and materials that they can choose from. And they pretty much just choose from stuff that they've had lessons on or that they're comfortable with doing and that they can do. And then the teacher pulls from her observations to give them lessons on what they need to do next.
Awesome. And so, of course, you know, Chronicles of a Montessorian being our number one resource, which we will, of course, drop in the show notes for everyone listening so that you can check Anitra out. So what other resources would you recommend for us?
Montessori Services is a good one. They have a lot of books. They actually have two sides to their website. The Montessori Services is a lot of information for schools and classrooms, but then they have the Four Small Hands section, which is kind of based more for parents and homeschoolers. So there's tons of books, there's articles. So you can get materials from there. They give you tons of helpful information. It just depends on what exactly you're looking for and what you're looking to incorporate. So if you're just looking to incorporate the basics, their Four Small Hands is probably good. Obviously my website. And then if you already have all that, are ready to add actual materials, the Montessori Services is really good.
Awesome. And what is your biggest piece of advice for those that are kind of listening right now and they're considering it, but they don't really know? What's your biggest piece of advice for someone that kind of wants to get started with the Montessori concept?
So it is very, very child focused, child centered. It can be adapted to fit any child's individual needs. A lot of people think it's very strict and stringent and has to be done a certain way. It doesn't have to be. So if you just get the basics down of what the actual method and the principles are, you can adapt them accordingly to fit the needs of your child. So freedom within limits is a big one. Education of the whole child, their individualized learning, and natural consequences, free choices and reason and responsibility. There's so many different ways that you can incorporate things. It's not always about the actual Montessori materials. There's so many other ways that you can incorporate it into your daily life.
Hey, y'all. So if you're listening to this episode, I know you're my tribe, and I'm 100% sure you're as passionate about supporting Black and POC-owned businesses as I am. Have you ever gone to purchase something or look for a service provider and had to jump on the Googler or wade through Facebook groups filled with spam and unrelated ads to find what you're looking for? Well, I created the Black-owned Spotlight group to help alleviate some of that drama. Join our community where customers just like you shout out their favorite Black and POC-owned businesses with real reviews and positive experiences. Find what you're looking for through a quick search or shout out your own favorite Black or POC-owned business. Word of mouth is still huge for lots of small businesses. They need our help now more than ever, and a quick shout out is a great way to help ensure they'll be around for years to come. Ready to join us? Go to alldaybrittany.com/Black-owned Spotlight for more info. And now, back to the show. And so I know some of the naysayers of this kind of way of education, they assert that it can be, I guess, too much independence, or the parents or the teachers are a little too hands-off. And I read kind of an interesting article a few weeks ago where the lady was actually a former Montessori teacher, and she kind of decided against that lifestyle for her own children because she felt like it was introducing certain things to children kind of before they're ready, like letting them play with small objects that are choking wrists when they're really young, or letting them use real knives and forks when maybe they're not quite ready for that. So what are your thoughts on some of the quote unquote cons of Montessori, or the things that, I don't want to say cons, but the things that people may be a little bit more concerned about?
Right. Yeah. For me, those are not cons. Those, anything can be turned into a lesson, but you have to first know your child or the children that you have in your care. You need to know what their abilities are. Obviously, if your child is 18 months, no, you're not going to give them a real knife to use for snack preparation. Obviously, that doesn't make sense. But in the 3 to 6 range, which most of these kids are when they have real knives, then it's okay. And you give them the spill. This is very sharp. Like, I've never in my 20 years of teaching, I've never had a kid either choke themselves or hurt themselves on any of the materials that I've used in my classroom. It never happened. So it just really depends on the teacher and the adult knowing the child's abilities are. You have to plan accordingly. And that's why the training is so important. And obviously, I don't know that person. I have no idea how they were trained and if they were even formally trained, but it's not too loose. I mean, I've heard that it's too strict. So it's kind of interesting that I've heard that it's too independent. I've never heard it. That's interesting.
Weird criticism.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's just a matter of looking into things a little deeper. I mean, there's alternatives. Obviously, if you feel that a child or your child in general shouldn't use a real knife, then use an alternative. And they can still get the same effect from the work. Just use a different one. Obviously, if you're trying to cut a carrot, you have to use a real knife, but just don't have them cut a carrot yet. Just have them, you know, cut something softer like an egg, and they can use a butter knife. And, you know, it just depends. And that really falls into the training or how much research you've done into the method and to how you can adjust it. It just really depends. But kids are so much more capable than people give them credit for. It's always, you let them, yes, of course we let them. Yes, yes, those are real knives. That's a real glass plate. That's a real glass cup. And most times I was the one that broke the glass or the plate because I was cleaning them. They rarely ever broke their glass plate or their glass cup when they were using it. It was me when I was sterilizing them. So it's just, it sounds odd, but it isn't. They are so much more capable than people give them credit for.
I love that. I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying a few minutes ago about being very child-centered. And of course, you know, figuring out when, you know, we know our children, I think. And so, you know, when your kids are ready for certain things. And so some things you hold back on and some things you go full throttle with. And that's okay for us to figure out as parents, which is which.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I know with my 4-year-old, so we introduced scissors probably about 6 months ago. I had bought her like this cutting booklet. It teaches you how to like cut in straight lines and zigzags and circles and all that stuff. And I was so nervous because we homeschool. So we worked it into the curriculum. We did a whole lesson on scissor safety and how to properly hold scissors. And I was so nervous. And I mean, she was a natural, obviously. So she did just fine. And like now, if I need a pair of scissors, I know I can say, hey, go grab those scissors and bring them here. And she knows not to run with them. And so, yeah, so I like that. We do tend to underestimate our babies sometimes.
It's just because when people see some of these things in the environment, they may have the impression that we just put it out. We just put it on the shelf and they're supposed to know, but that's never the case. There is always a lesson that has to be done before anything's ever put out. So even if it's not in the classroom, even if you, like you said, you wanted to introduce scissors, you had to give her a lesson. Otherwise, she wouldn't know that they're dangerous and they can cut you and you never run with them and the proper way to hold them if you're walking with them. You go through all of that and then you put it. And then you give gentle reminders. Oh, make sure you're using that properly or I have to take it away. Or we have to, you know, we'll have to use it another time and, you know, we'll put it away and we'll bring it out later. And then you follow through. So if they're being unsafe, you need to make sure that you remind them to be safe. And if they're still forgetting, then maybe it's not time and you pull it and you introduce it later. It's not like the end of the world. But the gentle reminders is sometimes what they needed. Trust me, I had to remind kids all the time, please, please, please use your walking feet with your glass plate. Please, please walk with your glass plate. The, you know, glass plate in one hand and the lunchbox in the other. And I'm like, is that a good idea? And they're like, no. What should we do instead? Put my lunchbox down. Exactly. Like, I didn't even have to say it. I just would say that. And they're like, oh, you're right. I should probably hold this plate with both hands so I can go put it away. It's very simple. But like I said, you never just put anything just out and expect them to know. There has to be a lesson and the guidelines and the rules of how to use it. And then you just review it as needed.
Yeah, I love that. And so I know we as parents, it's our job to educate our kids and teach them how to succeed and kind of guide them through life. But it's my firm belief that a lot of the times they end up teaching us sometimes too. And so do you feel that your experience with your girls in Montessori has taught you anything about yourself that you weren't previously aware of? Or did it maybe change some of your perspectives on the world in general?
I have found that children are miraculous. Like they are like little miraculous beings and they are so capable and they can accomplish so much more than people can think they can. They're so resilient, like, and with a stimulating environment, like they can literally do anything. It almost would surprise me sometimes some of the things that they could do or that they would know. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, so I learned from them. So I know that everyone wants to protect their children as much as possible, but that can be very stifling. So sometimes you just have to release the rope just a little, let them go out and let them see other things and learn other things. And it will be beneficial for them. It really will. The independent part is very important, especially when they're little.
I love that. That was one of the things that kind of drew me to Montessori. And one of the reasons I was super excited to talk to you this evening. I feel like the independence, I feel like that's a good thing. We are really big on raising our kids to kind of take up space and speak up for themselves and have confidence in their abilities. And so I feel like as parents, everything that we do should be guiding them towards that. And to me, just kind of from the initial research that I did, Montessori seemed very much all of that. So I love it. I'm here for it.
Yay. It is. It's a great philosophy. You can learn so much. And we, as educators, we've learned how to provide those tools with them. So there was a lot of like role playing. We would do that. So, you know, we would show them like how it is that you should interrupt if an adult's talking, what you should do if someone does something that you don't like. We're big with, you know, use your words and tell them. We wouldn't always jump in and just try to diffuse their problem. We would give them the problem solving tools and they would come to us if they needed help outside of what we've already given them. So we did that a lot. So yeah, one of my favorite things was doing, how do you interrupt someone who's talking? I would tell them in circle, okay, if I'm talking to another friend or another teacher or a mom or dad, and you need to tell me something, if it's not an emergency, you need to put your hand on my leg and then I will put my hand over your hand and hold it there so that you know I know you're waiting and that you have to wait patiently until I'm done. And they would just sit there, put their little hand on my leg until I was done. And then I would get to them and they were used to that. If I was sitting, they would put their hand on my shoulder and I would put my hand on top of theirs. So we would practice these things so that they knew and they would carry that home with them. And people were like, how do they know how to wait patiently? Oh, because we practice. What do you mean? We practice that. We do that in circle time as a group. We all took turns role playing. It's like stuff like that that people don't realize is super important. It's really super important. And Montessori doesn't let those things slip through the cracks.
I love that. I'm actually going to try that because my 4-year-old, she's really big on mommy, 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 right. mommy. And she will like tap me on the knee and, you know, you feel bad, right. but you're like trying to get right. out of thought. Like, just give me a minute. Right. I'm like really going to try that. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. It did wonders. Trust me. Yeah. You know, because if you're dealing with another problem or, you know, you're in the middle of talking to another parent and they really need something. But I told them if someone's really hurting, it's an emergency. Obviously, you can interrupt. But if it's not an emergency, I will put my hand over your hands to let you know I know that you're waiting so that they don't feel like, does she even know I'm here?
Yeah.
My hand just sitting on her leg or on her shoulder. And they would just do it. So they would do that a lot. And parents have always been like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for that. And I'm like, it's just something simple. I think when I got trained, that wasn't even the initial lesson. I just came up with that because I was just like, put your hand right here on my leg and I will be with you in a second. Then I was like, wait a minute. That could actually be a real lesson. It stuck with me for, you know, 9, 10 years in, but it stuck with me. So that's like one of the big ones. But yeah, it's a good one.
That is super cool. Well, Anitra, thank you so much. This has been such a fun chat and super educational. So thank you again for coming on here and dispelling, I think, some of the myths and confusion surrounding the Montessori lifestyle. So I think everyone that's listening, I think you guys have gotten some really good nuggets. So Anitra, before I let you go, if you want to drop your website, we're going to put it in the show notes, of course, but I always like to have you say it out loud.
It is chroniclesofamomtessorian.com.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much. This was fun.
Yes. Thank you. And so for my listeners, I will see you guys next time. Bye. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new here, join our tribe and hit that subscribe button. And be sure to come and find me on Instagram at itsbrittany24 and tell me what you thought of this week's episode. I value your opinions and your feedback, so feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a DM and let me know your thoughts. Until next time.